Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Late even by Hutton standards this week, I'm afraid, due to me sitting in the dark, literally because I had no power. So if there's any noise in the background, it's because I'm pedaling very fast with this generator. So on with what it says here is another fun-packed show. I'm your host, Harry Balzac, and I'll have to take their word for the amount of fun we're going to have. What is definitely fun is introducing the rest of tonight's team. On my right hand, I have Wilma Fingerdoo.
I've warned you about that.
Oh, sorry. On my left, but at a sensible distance, is the apology officer. Good evening, Mia.
Hello, Harry. Hey, how come you get to do an apology? That's my job. It's in the actual name of my job.
Sorry, damn. I'm making no apology for our next member. It's the master of mustachioed mirth. It's One Care.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Harry. Allow me to introduce our final but most vital crew member, the force of nature, that is, Normous Knockers.
Hello, everyone. And to the commander, and you know who you are, who wrote to me asking me to send certain items in the post. It's going to get cold soon, and I'll need them when the wind starts whistling through the orbital. And B, that's not nearly enough money.
On that note, I think it's time for some headlines.
It took a long time, but not quite 127 hours.
The Pilots Federation tried to keep all the salt in the cellar.
Changing looms, make sure you're smiley.
Thieves come a cropper when they meet a pink copper.
He who hesitates is lost in Wolf 124.
Things may be blue, but there's lots to do.
It's a big galaxy and a big list of community events.
Commander Spartan is a lucky pilot. He's lucky that he was on Col 359 Sector Charlie Zulu Whiskey 83-4 and not in Utah, or his tale might have had a very different ending. While innocently out for a drive, as you do, looking for a place to park, to get out his thermos of hot any na coffee and eat his Kairi Dani marine paste sandwiches while watching the galaxy go by, the bottom dropped out of his world. A sinkhole, probably caused by something that Amelia swears doesn't exist, too much mining, meant that Commander Spartan very quickly found out what it was to be a young girl called Alice, plummeting down, 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 deeper and down, wondering where the rabbit had gone, wishing he hadn't taken the red pill, and feeling grateful that this was only a half-G planet. Approximately 370 metres later, stopped abruptly. It'd be fair to say that at this juncture, his SRV was stuck, wedged, stuck in there tighter than a container ship in a canal, harder to shift than an anaconda in the toast rack, deeper than an Alabama tick, and more difficult to remove than an embarrassing stain just before a first date. Even those helpful people, the part of the whole SEALs known as the Gigfishers, who describe themselves as a group of elite dangerous players who will come to the aid of fellow commanders in need of any sort of rescue, would have to knot together an awful lot of bedsheets to pull out his SRV from such a predicament. Never give up. Never surrender is obviously not Commander Spartan's motto, unless he stole it from Captain Jason Nesmith, but he appears to have borrowed it. The self-destruct never crossed his mind, Okay, we think he did cross his mind, but apparently that's not a long journey, so it was soon dismissed. So he exited his SRV, metaphorically rolled up his sleeves, and prepared to get a crick in his neck as he started upwards to where freedom lay. What followed might well be described as uphill parkour, and Spartan jumped from ledge to ledge, boosting where he could and rested on ledges to recharge. Hour after hour, he climbed upwards. Okay, it probably wasn't that long, but minute after minute really doesn't sound like much of an effort, so we thought we'd big him up a little. The ridge getting oh so slowly closer, slipping back as his boost failed him. This was a task of which Sisyphus would have been jealous. But eventually he reached level ground, which he would have kissed, except that A, that is so unhygienic, and B, he was wearing a space helmet, so all he managed to do was to get slobber on the glass, making it difficult to see where he was going. Commander Spartan then made his way back to his ship, luckily no more than 1.5 kilometres away, using the trail left by his SRV's tyres and his compass. This brave adventurer made it back, minus one SRV and a couple of energy cells, but he still had both his arms, and he gained an odour in his flight suit that no amount of washing seems to be able to remove.
The Pilots Federation salt mine, which they sometimes refer to as the Forums, was taken down this morning, ostensibly for an upgrade. But insiders have told us that Commander Sally, the official bearer of the oil to pour on troubled waters, had asked for a morning off. And the AI that runs the Forums decided that it was going to throw a hissy fit. A full Mr. Dusty is how some people have described what follows, as the Forum software, knowing it was going to be bereft of Sally's help, humour and hand-holding, decided that it was going to have a duvet day and keep out of sight until that nice lady was back. You know, the one who's polite even to nasty people. As it was going to have a much better time when that happened, and quite frankly, so would everyone else. We are delighted to say that Sally Sunshine is back at her post, iron fist firmly enclosed in a pink velvet glove. And the nation's chips are prevented from being doused solely in vinegar. But we dread the coming of the time that the prophets have dubbed my summer vacation.
It seems that the Pilots Federation is expanding further into the interior design business. Up until now, they've been content to let you customise your ship with some fairly simple stock items. For example, for the outside of your ship, not only can you get paint that comes in 50 shades of garish, but you can also buy some odd-shaped pieces of MDF to stick on the outside of your hull, covered in sticky-backed plastic and glitter that wouldn't survive the first trip through hyperspace, let alone an encounter with an upset Thargoid scout. For the interior, you can add a set of lights to your cockpit that wouldn't look out of place at the tackiest of Christmas Tech celebrations, but do not come with a spare bulb. Or you can add various wobbly things on springs that appear to have been drawn by a child and that distract you just as you're lining up for that tricky shot. And of course, you can add letters in two different types of ostentatious, but with limited slots to put them in, so that depending on what ship you're flying, you can spell two-thirds of whatever word it was you were going for, or miss out all the vowels and half the consonants, like you're a 15-year-old texting on a phone from the early 21st century. We've been lucky that the worst excesses of the vidcast changing cockpits have not been exacted upon pilots, so precious breakable collections are safe. Cockpit walls have not been covered completely in Thargoid skin. Entire cockpits, including the view screen, have not been painted entirely black or entirely white, despite the input of a Commander Hot Black Desiato for this to become a standard offering. However, apparently there's to be a revival of the show sponsored by the Pilots Federation, and Cecil has been given the job of presenting it. He's been summoned to headquarters wearing his familiar shirt and most colourful outfit, though we do believe that this is a coincidence, since it was picked out by Vantillon. He says he's ready for this, as he's had the neighbours in, but that may just be an idle boast. Cecil tells us that the new innovation this year is to be lighting. Yes, we thought the same. Focus groups have been set up, apparently, to decide how much lighting do we want, where do we want it, how bright should it be, what colour should it be, and how often are we prepared to change the bulb if we don't like it. The new season of changing cockpits will be with us soon, so if you don't want to risk running out of the airlock screaming after you've seen what Cecil has done to your ship and your drinks cabinet, make sure you tell the Pilots Federation that it's either white, 60 watt plain shade please, or one that projects the stars onto your bedroom ceiling to help you sleep as you're tucked in at night.
The galaxy can be a dangerous place, so they tell us. Not only are there solar flares, high G landings, neutron stars, asteroids, canyons, thargoids, and all manner of natural disasters waiting to happen to you, but there are problems that come from members of your own species. We all know what it's like to meet a pirate. So out of its head on onion head that they think your bio-waste is tasty cargo. Or so nervous that they demand 40 tons of something, then blast you before you get a chance to open your cargo hatch or tighten your sphincter. We've met pirates that'll chase you across half the galaxy for 1 ton of fuel. Or some that appear to be badly disguised ship salesmen wearing designer eye patches and a false leg that doubles as a hip flask, determined to meet their quota by blowing you to bits and forcing you to buy the latest model. All of these problems have one thing in common. They're obvious. You could say that they're all in your face. You know that they're there. You can decide on a strategy, and you can deal with them. Recently, however, there has been a different class of criminals seen around the galaxy, or rather, not seen, because they are sneak thieves or even pickpockets. If you, out of the goodness of your heart, accepted several support missions from a station, then put yourself at risk flying around the, as we've previously mentioned, dangerous galaxy, then limp back to the mission giver, eager to see their happy, smiling face as you supply them with the items they need to survive or eke out what subsistence living they can, well, you'd expect everything to go well, wouldn't you? Not at all, my friends, not at all. That is not what happened. Whilst your attention was focused on making sure you didn't drop any of your precious commodity as you pressed it into the trembling hand of the needy recipient for the first mission, you were robbed. Robbed blind, as it were, because, you know, it happened behind your back. All of the other goods that you'd struggled to gather for the other missions just disappeared, vanished without a trace, leaving you to waste hours checking your pockets, the back of your chair, and even the bathroom, in case you'd put the stuff down there on the way to hand them over as you'd had that extra spicy curry and were desperate for a toilet that had at least a semblance of gravity. It seemed that a receiver of stolen goods had sent teams of hapless young commanderlings out on sprees to cut the purses of mostly honest folk and bring the contents back to an asteroid base where he referred to the members of his gang as my dear. This state of affairs could not be allowed to continue. How's an honest pilot to earn a crust if the goods were literally stolen from under his or her nose, or rather bottom, since the thief was behind them? Anyway, I digress. This crime wave came to the attention of none other than Inspector Morgan Moore of the Yard, or in her case, 2'6". With her trademark, "Hello, hello, hello, what's going on here?" and "Evening all," she quickly assessed the situation and, blowing her whistle, summoned the members of the CID, that's a Coding Improvement Department, where they hunted down the source of the losses and on Friday quietly incarcerated the miscreant, and we are assured that this should never happen again. Famous last words. So, our grateful thanks go out to Commander Sally and all the team.
Now, none of the radio crew is what you might call a spring chicken. In fact, we've got more than our share of old boilers. Ow! So trust us when we say that this comes from a place of love. And more importantly, 5,000 miles away, when we say that Commander Venezia may be getting a little forgetful. The Commander recently hitched a lift with Hanky's expedition aboard the fleet carrier Emperor's Fury, and happily stayed on board as it began its return journey. Now, it's at this point that things get confusing, or may have done for Commander Venezia. Because when Emperor's Fury stopped at Wolf 124, we happily got off and flew away. The carrier remained on station for a week, then returned to Colonia, but minus one commander, who only discovered the missing carrier when he returned to collect his ships. Now we don't know, what we don't know is, did Commander Venezia fall asleep on the carrier, wake up with the start and jump off without checking where he was, like someone on a train that wakes up at the end of the line, usually because of a bit of pre-trip carousing? If so, was he too embarrassed to admit it, but took too long to recover his nerve, thus missing his ride? Maybe that's a foul slur and that he was meant to get off at Wolf 124, but fell asleep later and forgot where the carrier was parked and so missed the departure, due to post-trip carousing. The alternative is that he's just getting forgetful, and that his days are all alike now, just a blur from when the nurse brings him his morning pill and changes his flight suit's plumbing module, until nighttime and the blissful sleep. Anyway, let's all wish Commander Venezia a happy birthday for yesterday, but we don't want to wake him as Nurse Wyatt just got him settled, so we won't sing happy birthday, we'll just eat his cake for him.
It was another quiet week in the sleepy galactic backwater that has become Hutton space in recent weeks. All systems are blue across the board, no wars, no elections, and no otherwise adverse states. However, despite the grass being always greener in Hutton space, it still needs mowing, you filthy lot. We have only two systems below 40% this week. Barnard Star is recovering, somewhat glacially, from an infrastructure failure, and he's still very low on 31%, with Ross 671 slowly climbing to 39. In Barnard Star, two of the other factions, including 10th Fleet, are in an election for the second spot, so feel free to drop in and sway the election against them. Well done to those truckers who are already there, mandering those jerrys like they've never been mandered before. The outbreak in Epsilon Eridani was relieved earlier in the week, and the system is slowly hauling itself up into the low 40s like a middle-aged used hauler salesman disillusioned with his life and his endless diet of Arcturian pizza and conger ale. At the top end of the systems league, we have six systems above 60%, with three of those over 70. We are already in expansion, so no need for all the extra excitement, although it'd be nice not to expand from somewhere other than LP532-81 for a change. Just once. Meanwhile, in Colonia, the High Kazi of Colonia himself, Grand Emperor Hanky, asked that truckers work for Hot Coal in the election in Tyr against the Colonia Cooperative and run legal weapons missions and bounty hunting Il Procol Centauri, where we have a minor terrorist problem. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Hutton influence in Barnard Star. If you want to shoot something, how about some nice stellar screenshots?
It's time once more to set out into the unknown in the company of commanders who have taken the time and trouble to organise events for us all, the Elite Dangerous community. As usual, links will be in Twitch chat and the description of your YouTube upload. Firstly, there are still a few days to take part in Psychic's Fill the Glass Race, which is a time trial to collect Lavian brandy, Iran and Pearl whiskey, Harmer Silver Sea rum and Indy bourbon, then deliver them to HIP 110248. Full details are in her forum post. I had a quick run round yesterday and nowhere near the quick times they're doing. Commander Mephisto has taken time out of his busy life aboard Fleet Carrier Consul, which is whisking its passengers in comparative luxury to each and every one of the 124 waypoints of the Canon Challenge, to send us this "Wish You Were Here" message.
The comfy Canon crews finally visited waypoint 61 through 63 after nearly 2 weeks of filling up with close to 10,000 units of tritium. At waypoint 61, two more kinds of peduncle pods could be examined, Rufum and Purpurium. The other waypoints featured shiny B-type anomalies, numbers 8, 9 and 14.
Ice!
Khonsu continues to travel through the northeastern quadrant of the Milky Way and will soon reach the middle waypoint number 65 of 129. So that'll be halfway then.
Mission liaison Commander Nicole Dyson has sent a final message from the Rook Platoon Explores the Land Down Under expedition, which went out of the southeastern corner of the galaxy, as he reflects on what they learned.
The formidable rift, a very unexplored region of space near the Poseidal Wall, where scarcely any commander has made it out alive, was our next notable waypoint. As it turns out, the spot wasn't as bad as previously thought because of a very large number of unsurveyed neutron stars. This should be a great help to anyone that finds themselves in the same region of the galaxy, for they can now know that they can make it through this void with relative ease, as to what was previously thought of Zibalba. This was the final waypoint of our journey before our carriers went back to our home system of Apotanites.
The SWS High G Summer Slamdown 3307 expedition launched on Sunday, but it's still not too late for people to sign up for the first long-range 66,000 light-year high-gravity body landing tour, compatible with both Odyssey and Horizons. Not only fun to be had, but prizes as well. Commander Richard Fluianis M has sent us some notes of their early days.
Hiya! The expected expedition launched successfully and has been traveling to its many destinations quickly as people take screenshots and compete for one of the three completionist prizes. Recently, FDFCMs featured us in a stream and were inspired to do their own hygiene landing in one of our proposed system marathons that consisted of landing on a set amount of planets. Currently, we are at 55 members and we are looking for more challenges and our little gravity experiments. The picture being shown is that of a historical POI, that's point of interest, revisited Algerona, featuring one of our fleet carriers, SWS Clown Hospital.
FGS Glorious Waltz surveys the Monkey Head Nebula launches tomorrow, Friday, August 20th at 12 UTC. Just over a week-long adventure to mine, explore, make landfall on planets in and around the Monkey Head Nebula, Jellyfish, Crab Nebula and Rosneft Nebula. Basically a feast for nebula lovers. Commander Wiener Warlock can't wait to get us properly excited and tell us that the expedition will be departing from the Flat Galaxy Society's home system of HR2926 at 0100 UTC on 20th of August and returning on 30th of August. We'll be getting updates from them along the way, so nebula files, prepare to be satiated. It's the third Saturday of the month, so it's CQC Saturday, organised by Commander Venetia. Let's hope he remembers it's happening. If you've always wanted to have a go at CQC, but didn't know where there would be like-minded truckers around, now's your chance. Come out for our monthly CQC event. This is great practice for people with no combat experience, as there is no rebuy. This event will take place at 1600 Eastern Standard Time, which is 2100 UK time. And that would be 2000 UTC. Last and the only last, because this is how time works, is the Wild Wild West, which starts from Colonia on the 28th of August, and Commander Analog Kid, 1970, has unholstered his report, and he's shooting his mouth off. Oh, all right, no more Wild West tropes, even if I am an old-timer. The expedition started as a conversation between Airman Dan and myself about the two places we wanted to visit in-game. Through our brew, FL-P, E5-0 for Dan, and V1357 Cygni for me. We took a handful of intrepid commanders aboard my carrier, the IPX Omega Concern, on a 10-week journey to scout for waypoints for the expedition. The significance of these two points is for Dan to pay homage to his co-pilot Toby, who had sadly passed away. See www.tobyrest.com. And for me, to visit the in-game location of the black hole Cygnus X1 in homage to the band Rush, of whom I'm a fan. Further expedition details are on ADSM. And that's all we have this week from community-led events. If you want yours to be featured, just email itookpart@huttonorbital.com and we'll get in touch.
The very